uric acid.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I mean,
how'd you find that out?
Well, I took out, I got some other cleaners, and I ended up, he sold me, he took a toothbrush, first of all, and he put some of this cleaner on the toothbrush, and there was a spot on my the sidewalk, or the like, kind of the porch there, right, a little sidewalk in front of the porch, and he started scrubbing in this dirty area of the concrete, and it just turned it, like, white. I mean, it was like, wow, just thinking that, one, and it almost made, like, a stain now, amongst the dirty concrete, yeah, so I'm kind of almost like, why don't you do the whole thing there, Turkey, while you're at it? You know, sucking me in on this, I bought a big concentrated bottle for $33 just because the stuff's so darn impressive.
Right.
And he was back, cruised around the neighborhood. I'd gotten his name and number because I said, you're good with your product, so this is pretty neat. I want to get you working for me. I've got some pretty big sales stuff. I do marketing stuff. I took some of that product. I just want to test it. Just my own, I guess, paranoia mixed with curiosity got the best of me. And I took some of that solution that he just sold me, and it had a sealed top, so I knew it was the real stuff. And I got a toothbrush out, an old toothbrush, dipped it in just like he did, and I did it right beside it because I wanted to see it work.
Right.
Didn't touch it. Didn't,
really?
Didn't do anything.
So what'd you do?
So I went and tracked him down. I saw him walking. He hadn't gotten far by now. I told him, and I said, you know, I'm telling you, I can work with you, and you're a really good salesperson, but, you know, be honest, that's not the same stuff. Look at, you know, you want to come back and see, I'll show you, and he pretty much is that stuff. I'm going to tell you, no one's ever done this, gone to the trouble you did, and I guess, I'm a little more analytical than most, but he's like, you know, I put a couple teaspoons of muriatic acid in there, that stuff's heavy duty, burns anything right off anything, but people, you can't use muriatic acid on stuff, it'll eat the chrome off your bumper.
Did he give you your money back?
He ended up giving me half off. I didn't really push him because I like the guy, even though he's doing that, and I think that's, like, really wrong. I still like the guy, and
he conned you. But there is a good lesson in that. Aside from him conning you, he didn't take your no for an answer, and all he did was demonstrate. And that's exactly what Claude Hopkins talks about. You have to demonstrate your product when you're knocking on the doors. You have to prove it to them. You have to show them. They have to see it with their own eyes. And this is how you sell. And if you're not selling in person, face-to-face, and you can't do that, you can do these same things through writing a sales letter, you know, through the words you put on paper or on your website. You can demonstrate. You can prove with pictures, like in my bio, in my story. Everything I say, I back up. I've got pictures of me, my family, that I've traveled to Europe. I've got pictures of my car being towed. Yeah, I've got proof. You have to prove everything, especially when you're marketing on the Internet.
And can you describe, like, your first moment when you say you tasted your first bit of what you'd call real success?
I think, honestly, I'm not even there yet. I think I have some success, and I think it's, you know how you have, like, that growth curve? You know how they show you in multi-levels where you want to get in at the ground floor?
Uh-huh.
I think, like, this year, I am positioned at that growth stage where it's going to start going straight up.
Well, it's great that you're so humble that you say, you know, I look at you and I see you so successful, like myself, and that you still, you know, obviously your goals are very lofty, so you don't even see yourself necessarily hitting real success yet.
You hear, like, Tony Robbins talk to people who are multimillionaires. You know, money really has nothing to do with it, but I really feel like I've found my home and my niche, which is marketing and helping people. And, you know, I got a call from a guy, and he mentioned his name. I didn't remember talking to him, but after talking to him for a while, I did remember. He had inquired about my pen business, and he didn't have a lot of money, and he wanted to do something. He was in New York, and he had this tourism business where he took people on these personal tours through New York City. He was born and raised there, and he was passionate about it. And for a couple $100, he would take you on a 5-hour private tour in nooks and crannies of New York that you would never, ever find in a tour guide. And, you know, he called me, and he had seen my hard-to-find ad site. And he called me today, and he said, Mike, I just want to call you and say how thankful I am and how grateful I am that you put this hard-to-find ad site together and for your audio recordings. And I really appreciate it. You know, a call like that, it means a lot to me. When I get emails from people that say they love the site or how one of my audio recordings on the site has helped them make money or stimulated ideas, you know, that's the stuff I feed on. That's what makes it all worthwhile.
Well, how would you say you found your niche?
I think I found my niche by just moving forward. You know, you may not know where you want to go or what you want to do, but if you keep moving and keep doing it, it comes together. And I think my niche is becoming, up on my website I had consulting services, and I had copywriting services and this and that and that. And I just realized, you know, I'm going to take all that stuff down, because what I'm best at is interviewing people, doing audio interviews, and taking these audio interviews and crafting sales messages, almost like a sales letter, but more effective. And I think there's a lot of advantages, which maybe we can go into later or now, about why an audio interview in an interview style with just two people talking to one another, providing good, valuable information, will outsell the best written sales letter ever. And
yeah, I mean, I come to see all the power of it, and after seeing your site, that you've harnessed something that... phenomenal. I wonder, did you find this from someone else, or did you come up with this technique all on your own?
Well, look, I've always been saying there's got to be a better way. It's the lazy part of me. There's got to be an easier way. There's got to be an easier way. And I always question everybody. So as I'm researching all these great copywriters, and as you learn that most everybody copies everyone, they don't have the courage to be original or to try new things, because it's like the blind leading the blind. They just think if someone else is doing it, that it must be working, so they'll copy what other people are doing. So there's very few people out there really playing the game and trying to be original. Everyone has great ideas, but they discount them. Their little voice inside them says, you know, nah, that's not going to work. Or they hear their mom, you know, saying, ah, that's a stupid idea, and they bury it, and they never go through. But one thing I've learned, when I get an idea that pops in my head, I will capture it, I'll write it down, or I'll put it in a little database, and I won't lose it. And especially if I have a hunch on something, I will just not even think about it, and I will do it.
It's funny, I learned to not tell people about things I was doing. I kind of kept them a secret. You ever do that, or did you find...
You don't want to share it with anybody except like-minded people. Like, I'd share this stuff with you because I know you're interested in this stuff. But it's also a good lesson, because you know with your kids, you're not going to be like that. You know, with my kid, anything's impossible. Any idea he has, I'm open to it. I talk about it. You know, I know not to be negative about any idea or dream he has. Well, I encourage it, because if you can dream it and you can believe it, it's just, reality is just down the road. It's just a matter of doing the steps in between to get to it.
But no, you're pretty much right that really there is no limit. Which brings me to another curious question I had. Does your wife or any of your family assist you in any way with your business?
No, my wife does not assist me in my business at all, and I pretty much want it that way. You know, I work out of the house. You know, we see each other a lot. She works 3 days a week. My wife's mother and father have a tooling shop called Kahn's Machinery. They make parts for the aerospace industry, and they have a manufacturing plant, and they've been working together for their whole lives. And it's just, I don't want my wife involved in the business. I would rather just hire somebody else to help me, and she's not interested in doing it, really.
So tell me, like, what were the early days when you first put up your hard-to-find seminar site? What were the earliest days like? Do you remember, like, the first month or months of, after you set that website up or started to set it up?
Yeah, when I set that site up, it was at michaelsinoff.com, and I was doing a lot of selling of my J. Abraham stuff on eBay. And when I had first started selling on eBay, you know, I was getting some great prices. I was making great money, and that's all I was doing was eBay exclusively, putting my J. Abraham tapes and seminars and the things that I found. You know, I would have to hunt for the information and buy it off the original attendees, and then I would sell it. For instance, if I bought for, say, $250, I bought everything that someone who went to a $20,000 Protégé seminar got. I would get three sets of seminar tapes. I would get a contract guide, an advertising guide. I would get Your Marketing Genius at Work. I would get Fimeo for Your Marketing Eyes Only. I would get this videotape of Gary Halbert, a videotape of this guy named Kenrick Cleveland, a videotape of this guy named Harry Pickens. See, when he sells a seminar, he loads you up on so many bonuses. So I would get all this stuff, and then I would sell them separate on eBay. And it was just exciting. I was just doing eBay auctions. I knew when I found a set of stuff and picked it up from somebody, even if I paid $500, it was easily over $1,000 net profit in my pocket. So it was almost like hunting for gold. If I could find someone willing to sell me all their stuff that's sitting in a box in their basement or in their attic, that is over $1,000 in my pocket. It's just a matter of time.
Well, it's funny how you did that, because I used to think about more unrealistic things to do. Like, I once saw a documentary where they were showing some people that got lucky and they found, like, you know, some old people were having a yard sale, or you know, after they died, that someone else was having a yard sale their stuff, and that you find, you know, a shoebox full of baseball cards that are 50 years old. And I used to think, gosh, you need to show how this, you know, kid found that box at a yard sale, or even whatever, an adult, but turned around and sold some of the cards in there for as much as, you know, $10,000 or $20,000 a piece. And I thought, that would be a cool thing to get into, you know, if you could find that stuff. But you've done something more realistic and tracked down something that you can more easily find, or not easily, but that it's something attainable.
That's right. You know, what you're talking about is a great appeal. It's a great story. And as a matter of fact, you can see these type of stories of exactly what you're talking about in the National Enquirer. And I'm going to have a set of stories put up on hardtofindads.com, different story ideas that will give someone who wants to advertise an editorial-style ad a type of angle. And that is one of the common stories that I see almost every week in a National Enquirer, and it's there for a reason, because people, it's like winning the lottery, but it's not the lottery. It's just as good finding something at a garage sale that you buy for $2 and you turn around ends up being worth millions.
Yeah.
And that is basically kind of what I'm doing. I'm finding stuff in people's garages and basements and that it's not worth anything to them, and I'm buying it and then reselling it for a nice profit.
You have a formula on how to get it.
I have a formula. Now, this is really interesting, and I've given a lot of thought to this. My little niche market, anyone who understands what I do with some thinking and common sense would know that this formula can be applied to anybody. And I've almost wanted to give it some kind of name, like, you know, reverse marketing or something, where most marketing people will try and sell a product or service to a market and they'll be happy with 1 or 2%. They invest enormous amounts of capital in advertising, lead generation, selling, marketing, just to get sales to that 1 or 2%. I'm going in the back door. I'm waiting for that moving parade to pass. So when someone buys, those 1 or 2% people who buy that product or service, they have a very high level of interest, or they would not have bought that stuff, correct?
Right.
Well, what I do, and in human nature, that interest goes away within time. So I'm going back to them when that interest is barely even a memory in their mind, and they'll remember it, and then I'm saying, hey, by the way, do you have any of that old J. Abraham stuff from that seminar 10 years ago? So their passion index, they're not as passionate about it anymore. Many things have happened to them. People have died. They've moved. They're not in that space of their life anymore, are they?
No. What was gold is now more or less just garbage.
It's just a memory. So now the value to them is not near as what it was when they paid $20,000 for the seminar. But there's always a secondary market for anything out there. Now, you could take this same idea and do it with any product or service. You could go to the SRDS and find, for instance, let's say you wanted to resell, you wanted to find something with a market that you know is selling. I'll give you an example. Remember that Badge a Minute kit?
Uh-huh.
Badge a Minute, where you make the little pins and you can sell them at school and make money.
Yeah.
Well, that company's been around forever. You've seen an entrepreneur forever.
Yeah.
Well, there's people, if you go on eBay and you search Badge a Minute, you'll see people are bidding on Badge a Minute kits. Now, you can go to the SRDS and you can rent the Badge a Minute mailing list. But what you want to do is you want to rent the oldest list possible. You want to rent a list maybe from 5 years old, so you can contact the list owner and say, do you have the names of buyers from 5 years old? And you can buy them at a huge discount, because obviously names from 5 years aren't real interesting to the owner of Badge a Minute, are they? So you pick them up for nothing, and then you can do a mailing, the same type of mailing I do for my J. Abraham stuff, which is I may have a buyer for your old Badge a Minute stuff that you bought from Badge a Minute Corporation. If you're interested in selling, give me a call.
Yeah, that's a powerful technique. I've heard a lot about people that kind of go at the reverse angle, go and find people, lists or whatever, of people that were into something. Like you said, they were like in heat back then, and they bought a ton of the stuff, and now it's just, like you said, it's just a memory, and they're willing to, in some cases, just give it to you.
You know, I'll give you another example of something. If someone wanted to make some quick money buying and reselling something, I had tested this, and I sent out a fax to businesses. It was a broadcast fax, and all it said was, I may be interested in buying your extra inventory. If you're interested in selling, please call Michael Sinoff, 858-274-7851, and I had my company name and address. And they didn't know what inventory I was talking about, but every business is sitting on some kind of inventory. That passion index has gone. Or
businesses, people.
Businesses have equipment. You wouldn't believe the calls. My phone started ringing immediately.
Where were you putting that ad at?
I had a list of fax numbers. I did it to a list in Texas, just playing around.
Okay.
In the response, my phone started ringing off the hook with all kinds of people who had inventories that they wanted to sell.
What's your favorite technique of getting new visitors to your website?
The main technique I have is by people finding me, looking for Jay Abraham, Gary Halbert, Dan Kennedy, stuff through search words, keywords. I have a Google search word for Jay Abraham where I'm always number one. If anyone types in Jay Abraham, they're going to see my ad. That brings them there. People are finding out a little bit more about my websites and my audio recordings and my hard-to-find ad site. I was online last night, and I saw all these people. I had over 200 people register at my hard-to-find ad site, and I'm like, where are these coming from? When they register, they fill out a form, and I ask them, how did you hear about the site? And they said, Marcus Allen. So I emailed. I go, can you send me the little email that what you heard about hard-to-find ads? And he used it as his tip of the day.
Oh, wow.
So my hard-to-find ad site was the tip of the day from yesterday, and people have just been pouring in, registering to the site.
Well, you were just saying, too, how you could look maybe even to me for some advice on how to get some more unique visitors to your sites, and you just brought up your own golden point right there that you're probably already doing, but I'm wondering if you're doing any more of it than that. What we're talking about is heard the term article marketing,
right?
Well, have you done any of that where you're just basically not even looking like you're selling, you're just getting in like an e-zine and you're just kind of like a news story about a guy that's got this information that's all free, that angle?
Well, I haven't, and I'll tell you why. Because I have done very little promotion of my website.
Uh-huh.
Because, number one, I've been building the content to where I'm at a place where I feel like, okay, I've got enough really fantastic content. I want to stop building content, and I want to start promoting. Part of this, everyone's guilty of. It's always fun to develop products and build content.
That's the funnest part.
In marketing, it's work. You got to make phone calls. You got to try and do joint ventures. It's not as fun, right?
Right.
But and some of it may be procrastination, but some of it is genuine. I really want to get it. And there's a lot of great information. I have another 30 or 40 hours of audio recording that's being put together, and I'll have up on the site within about 60 days. And I said, after this, I'm not doing any more audio. I'm not doing any more editing. And then I'm going to do nothing but promote the site. I have not been promoting the site for another reason, because buying and selling Jay Abraham material is not an unlimited supply of product. This stuff is really hard to find. I don't have an unlimited supply of it.
Your name and your site is really for real, hard to find seminars.
It really is for real. So I've also been working on building some of my own products that I can sell, and finding and acquiring the licensing rights to other products that complement my site. So the bottom line is, I don't want to get all these people to my site and people want Jay Abraham stuff and other stuff, I'm not able to fulfill it. So I am limited, and that has kept me from really promoting it heavy. But I do have a lot of products of my own and a lot of things that I can sell on my site, and so I'm still, even though it takes so much time, building more products and more services to have on my site to sell people once I get them there.
Well, you've really gone a great route, though, because you've done what only the one percenters out there do, and what in the past couple years learned myself, and it's one of the most powerful things that you're using, and it's a great problem to be able to have to say that you've been building content product and developing so long that you haven't had as much time to market, because eventually it's all going to come back to you. And when you look at your website, you can see that it's just so packed with goodies. And I try to do the same thing and focus less, like the 95 or 99% of all the other websites on the internet that are all one big long sales letter. And you can see these guys, you know, while you've been developing a product and really making something creative that people can use and is of interest for years, other people that's been building one long sales letter, and that's what they think is like going to someday make them rich. I'll just keep adding more sales letter pages to my website. You can have all the sales letters you want on your site. If you don't give people something for free that is value, they're not going to respect you. They're not going to trust you. They're going to see no reason why they should even stay at your website.
Exactly. You know what it comes down to. You and I both know the hours, the late nights of staying up till 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock at night, working on your site, writing copy. It's the bottom line is, it is a hell of a lot of work. And it's a time commitment. And it's an investment. And if you're not willing to put it in many cases, you're just not going to be top dog. You have got to pay your dues. And that same thing, there's no free lunch. And these hours of editing that I do and the rewriting of the copy and putting up new pages and all this will pay me back many, 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 many thousands of dollars down the future, because once the work is done, it's done.
Yeah.
And you have to pay your dues. So if you think you're going to get out there and market something without any effort, you're dreaming. And that's why there are so few players, because the real reason is most people don't want to do the work. If you just do the work, you'll be on top.
Well, the problem is, too, most people just think, most especially internet marketers, they just think that just getting that sale, closing the sale, just trying to sell anything, whatever it is, just sell, 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 and they miss that whole point, which you do so eloquently at your website, and I try to do at mine, is to educate, and that is the most important part, I think, of being an internet entrepreneur, and I think you'd agree, is if you just educate people first, your site is very educational, and I teach in my courses and things. I say to people, never put a sales letter up front. Never make your stuff look salesy. Make yourself look generous first. People will have plenty of time to find your sales letter, and they'll look for it, and they'll hunt down your order button once you've already educated them, and they will thank you so much for that free education you gave them. And even me, with all my internet marketing experience, I found myself very educated by your website, and that is so powerful, and you've definitely harnessed something that most people don't know about, that will never even understand how important it is to give.
Yeah, I appreciate that. And the bottom line, like I said, and I've even realized this just recently in the last couple months, you know, when I want to talk to someone, I'll give them all I got. I'll, even if it takes a lot of time out of my schedule, you know, if it's realistic, I'll give them my best. When I'm on the phone doing a recording with someone or consulting, I'll give them my best, even if I don't get paid for it, because it will come back. It's that natural, that universal law. You give and you'll receive.
You kind of even taught me some of that. One of the things that I learned from you, just even on the phone, I had been kind of guilty of maybe not helping customers that call me with questions very well. Sometimes I've been too short with them in the past, and like, you know, I'm doing something real important here, leave me alone. And you kind of think like, kind of taught me that even in the past few weeks, I've started taking the great time that you take with people on the phone, and I see that what happens, you put in the time, and these people, they just love you, and boy, they come back, and they're hooked, and they want to buy more and more of my stuff, and so it's just a win-win situation, and that's, again, something that I've learned from you.
Right, well, that's good, but also you have to keep in mind, and you got to be realistic, there's only so many hours in the day, so if you're going to be giving something to someone, and you're going to be spending an hour on the phone with them, record the damn thing. So the next time the guy calls you and you're busy and he has the same question that you just spent an hour on the phone with, you can direct him to a recording, and then you've leveraged yourself.
Well, that's what I didn't say, is that I have been recording them, and I've been asking them up front if it's okay. And I tell them that, you know, what I'm going to do here is I'm going to give you a consulting session, which I would normally charge as much as $500 for in an hour, and I'm going to give it to you for free. The only thing I want is to be able to record that conversation so I can leverage it and other people can benefit from it later.
Mm-hmm.
And that may mean that I may even be selling it. Is that okay with you? They're always like, give me the free consulting lesson now. Yeah, that's fine, whatever, let's do it. And I spend the time, and I work, you know, it makes you work as hard. hard as you can to help them, because obviously if you're going to be showing this to people later on, you want this to be your best foot forward. And so people get to see me at my very best. Customers on the line with me get to hear me at my very best, where I'm really, really trying. Again, a win-win for everyone.
It totally works, doesn't it?
And I learned that from you. I mean, I thought I knew it all. Sometimes I get a big head, and I think, you know, I've studied every marketer, every book, and I feel like I know it all. But then a company come along, and I see this thing you're doing, and I'm like, that's powerful stuff. And I'm going to probably be doing that, I'd say, from ever on into the future. There's no reason not to do it.
There's no reason for you not. You took the step, and you got the ability to record a conversation. And what do you have to do? You press a button. And when you do it, and you know you're recorded, you want to be your best, and you're going to give your best, and then you've got it forever. And you can use those recordings. You can sell them. You could educate people and save your time from being on the phone answering the same stuff over and over again. And every business should do that.
Yeah.
I'll give you an example. And it's just doing a little bit every day. That's really, really important, and it's really powerful. I have a little video camera I've had since my son was born. He's 4 years old. I have a little bit of video of him every single day of his life, and he's over 4 years old. Every single day. Now, what is that going to mean to him when he's 20 or 30 or 40? A little bit of video, you know, maybe a minute or two, or when you see him doing, your kids doing something really cute, you know, the video, I'll go, I got to get video of this. And it's just a little bit every day. It doesn't take much effort to do a little bit every day, but over time, and as time passes and as our memories fade, you know, it's captured forever.
Yeah.
And that's the same thing. As you're doing your business, you could be teaching people. It's like someone can be sitting in watching you do what you do, how you earn money, following your life. I'm not saying you have to record everything of your life, but just a little bit of what you do by pressing a button, in 5, 10, 15 years, you've got a masterpiece. This is the end of part 3. Please go to part 4.
Did you know I do audio interviews? I bet you could tell by now that I do audio interviews with experts on marketing, advertising, direct mail, list management, you name it. My interviews can build the value of your information products. My interviews can enhance the sales of a website. My interviews can make you famous. If you want someone who has an intimate knowledge of the direct mail business and understands the questions to ask, understands how to dig out the scoop, understands how to produce, develop, and create a compelling audio product, you want to talk to me. I promise you, if you've got a product you're selling and you want to bring life and build value into it, please contact me.